Hello, this is Daniel Gregory, and thank you so much for joining me this week. This is the 350th episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast, and I really do appreciate you tuning in. Hope you're having a wonderful week. No, I'm getting a chance to do some fun things this week. Again, I just want to remind everybody that for the coming weeks, we've got a sponsor, Silly Dog Studios, which is actually my own studio, but my partner Lori and I, we split the business in half, and she's got the herbal side of the products. I have the photography side, and so her shop, if you go to shop.sillydogstudios.art and use the code podcast10, you can save 10% on anything in her shop. She's got some amazing soaps, salves, balms, lip balms, all sorts of things made with local plants, infused oils from Whidbey Island here. So great chance if you're looking for some fun holiday shopping gifts. You can support Lori in her herbal practice and really do appreciate that. A lot of times when I get to the end of a year, I kind of like to look back at the photos that I've created, whether I've created 10 or created 10,000, 100,000, whatever I've shot for that year. And I kind of like to look at kind of what's happened in that year, not looking for the best or the worst, but really looking at kind of grouping what was the themes that sort of emerged in that time frame. And programs like Lightroom or Capture One are great because they have a database that sits behind them and you can kind of pivot and sort on some information that's in there. And so I can look at things like subject matter and keywords. So did I go to a particular location that I keyworded in? Did I photograph there a lot? Or I can look by date. Did I shoot more in the spring than I did in the summer and kind of try to figure out maybe why that happened? Or I can search by camera bodies. You know, I'm getting ready to sell a lot of camera equipment because I'm upgrading camera equipment. And I've also got lenses that I just haven't shot in a while. And I think it's important for those camera lenses to get used so that they can be happy. So I'm, you know, selling off a bunch of camera equipment. And Lightroom helps me see that. Capture One helps me see that. They let me see what did I actually photograph with throughout the year. So it's an interesting way to kind of come in and look at some of those hard metrics. Now, some of the other ways I might look at photographs and think about photographs is, you know, using a collection. Maybe I have a body of work that I'm thinking about or I'm using. And I've got a group of images that are birds of the Northwest, say. So I've got all this grouping of birds that I could go in and look based on subject. I could go look at what is it that I actually photographed. Again, sort of using that keyword, but maybe a little bit broader terms of the keywords. So instead of just looking at a specific, you know, bald eagles, maybe it's all of the birds that are in that area and starting to see, are there visual themes that start to repeat themselves? Are there ways of framing? Are there ways in the composition that sort of define who I was in the past year or who I was in the past 5 years or 10 years or whatever the look back period is? Do I see a commonality in there? Or do I see a shift that occurs? Or do I see a shift that's occurring, which is in some ways kind of more interesting? Am I starting to evolve the way I would approach some of that work? And I think as we look at some of those elements, we can also start to see things that are no longer necessarily interesting to us to photograph. You know, maybe we went out and photographed kind of traditional landscapes for a long time, and now we're focused in on, you know, portraiture or smaller, more intimate landscapes or macro work or still lifes, whatever it is. We start to see that shift in us, that different approach in how we might think about the things that we're photographing. And to me, that's really kind of an interesting thing to do because it, again, allows me to honor where I've been and allows me to anticipate and plan for some of the things that might happen in the future. And again, because of some of these search tools, it makes it really easy to look at those various different elements inside of Lightroom. Or Capture One, again, keywords, collections, metadata. That being said, I think there's some other interesting aspects that aren't easily tracked by the power of those databases that require us to do a little bit more digging, a little bit more searching, which is usually why I like to tighten it up and only look at a specific time period or within a given collection of images or a collection of subject matter. I like to go ahead and take a look at a smaller subset within there. And that is more on the psychological approach to, again, how am I thinking about the things that I'm photographing? Are there things that I photograph always from a distance where there's a lot of negative space in the foreground, then the subject, and then something off in the distance? Or do I always place the horizon line on the lower third of the frame or at the rule of third mark? Or do I place it in the middle or is it a lot of foreground? What are the things that I'm doing in terms of my approach to horizon line, say? So I wouldn't normally think about grouping my images or looking at my images based on the horizon line, or more importantly, the perceived horizon line. But what is it in my work? Am I naturally drifting higher or lower in the frame with where the grounded elements appear? So where ground appears, and even if I'm doing a still life, there's still this notion of a ground plane. Where does that sit in that photograph? How does that occupy that in the photograph? How much of the frame do I fill, I think, is another really interesting question. How busy is the frame? How big is the subject matter in the frame? How much space does it physically occupy when I look at the photograph? And does that shift my thinking when I actually look at those photographs? Is a photograph more intimate because it's closer? I'm closer to the subject matter. Or is it a more intimate portrait when it's back and it's got more of the environment that's contained? And I think it could go either way, depending again on the photograph and the context. But am I leaning one direction or another? Am I doing something in how I think about, again, ground, sky, horizon? How close am I again? Am I really close to things? Am I back far away from things? In terms of colors, am I using highly saturated colors, a more muted palette? Have I moved almost into a black and white where I've just slightly colored it? So it's almost got the appearance of just a slightly tinted black and white photograph. Where is my color palette sitting? And is it sitting there differently based on things that are, again, outside of a concept where I said I want to do a muted black and white toned palette? But across all my images, is that a dominant element? Is something that I could consider moving forward? Is that the evolution of my approach to seeing and approaching color? Same thing with black and white. The move from high, high contrast, maybe more subdued midtones, or maybe high key versus low key. Is there some change in me that's in that work as I start to go look for it that way? So again, rather than grouping photographs by birds, landscapes, portraits, still lifes, I group them by what are all of the images that are low key? And what are the thematic elements that develop within that? And I think that's one of the real struggles sometimes, for me at least, when I'm looking at the work, and I think for a lot of people when I'm working with them, is it's really easy to group by the obvious. It's really easy to group by subject matter, camera used, focal length, f-stop, some of the basics. But when we start to dive into subtext, and we start to dive into something else behind the obvious, you know, the veil behind the curtain. What is it that is in that work that is so compelling, that is so interesting? What is it across all of the high key images that's interesting? Not just the high key images of flowers. What is it about all of the low key, heavy, dark images that's compelling and interesting? Does it have a sense of forebodingness in it? Or is there a sense of hope, doom, joy, mystery? You know, whatever it is, what is in that work? What dominates the feeling of that work, again, across all of those different elements? And so as we look at work, as we think about work, I think it's important to start to build some bigger buckets and some bigger groups and ways to think about how we approach those images. We do a disservice to ourselves when we always occupy the space of what we already know. And there's things in that world of, I know what I know, I know what I don't know, but the things that I don't know, I don't know. You know, those three big buckets of how we kind of can potentially use as a approach to knowledge. I know the things I know. The things I don't know, I know that I may or may not want to learn about them, so I can go learn that. But it's that third bucket of mystery to me that's always kind of compelling. And I think the way we get access into that when we're looking at our photography and we don't have somebody else introduce us to the concept we're not familiar with is by stepping out of what we always do with the work and trying something completely different with the work. And that is hard to do. It is hard to go out and say, I'm going to photograph in a way that I've never photographed before, and try to say something in a meaningful way that I've never thought about before. That can be a challenge because we're influenced by things. Our breakthrough awareness comes from usually a subtle shift in a very small pebble that's thrown into the pond. That little ripple turns into something big. And that's why I think approaching this work where you're grouping this information in ways you had never thought about before, or never considered before. Again, a color, a tonal palette, distance to subject, size of subject, negative foreground space, negative sky space, where the horizon line's placed. Does the person look left in the frame? Do they look right in the frame? Whatever it is, and probably a brainstorming bucket of just dumping ideas down of how many possible ways you could think about grouping photographs. A bucket of 100, 200. You know, maybe get on Instagram and think about all the different ways photographs are presented there, or get on websites, do a Google image search for classical paintings and look at how those paintings are structured and figure out what you could pull out of there. Whatever it is, get that bucket created and then dive into that and see what lives in that space of when you look at work in a way you've never considered before. What comes out of that? How does that change who you are and your awareness of who you are as a photographer? And I think you might find that to be a really interesting exercise. I know for me, kind of pushing some of these odd buckets is really kind of an interesting opportunity, and it's an interesting learning opportunity. It's not always a productive learning opportunity. Sometimes it's kind of like, wow, that was a lot of time and a lot of effort for what seems like a small gain. But again, small ripples sometimes have huge effects down the road. We don't always know where the point of influence comes from. And so even if it doesn't seem like it's a big deal, it may turn out to be a big deal. Thank you again so much for spending some of your time this week with me on the podcast here. I hope you're having, again, a wonderful week, getting a chance to get out and do something creative, something you're passionate about. Please stay safe through the holiday seasons. I know we're still slogging along with the old pandemic. And so please make sure you're doing everything you can to keep everybody safe as you see your families through the holidays. And I wish you the best of luck this week, and I'll see you next time.